just translated into Malagasy. And it is a real privilege to be able to bring the good news of Lord Jesus to these many, many children and people so that they have the possibility of building their lives on the Lord Jesus. It's thrilling to have seen how the Lord brought the medical work and the vision that he gave for that together with the opportunities for spiritual outreach. And right back at the beginning, before we ever went to Mandaksara, but when we knew that we were planning to go there and the Lord had given the vision that this is the place where the medical outreach would start, unbeknown to us, a keen member from one of the churches down in the capital was sent up to Mandaksara in his work. He was a land surveyor. And he started a Bible study group in his house. And from that, through a little group of folk who were keen to do a Bible correspondence course. And from that, a tiny church was formed, so that when we arrived in the town, there was already this little church. I think there were 12 members at that time. And from that point, the medical work and the church work have gone hand in hand, the one helping the other. As you have more and more contact through the medical work, obviously, it's given more opportunity for people to attend to the various things that's happening in the church context. And right back then, some of these members came to me and said, please, would you help us start a Sunday school? At that time, they just had a Sunday morning service and a midweek Bible study prayer meeting, and that was all they had in the way of meetings. And really not much experience of planning much else. And so we started in a very small, weak way. I think at the beginning we had about 15 children and we just had to teach them in one class because that was all that was possible at that point in time. And gradually, working with the teachers, I was able to encourage them to divide and divide again and divide. And now we have over 100 children and young people, plus some adults who want to come as well, coming to Sunday school each Sunday, divided between about 13 classes. And I, right at the beginning, had to do practically everything, writing the lessons in Malagasy, helping the teachers with visual aids, helping them to know how to teach the children and so on. But gradually it's built up. And you saw Dr. Francis there. We worked together very closely. Once he came, that was a tremendous help to me because he had the same vision that I have and was able to help with some of the teacher training we do amongst the folk who are willing to teach to help them to do better and better. And obviously to pray together and rely on the Lord to use the word as he's promised that we're able to bring to the children and the people. Not only that, each week in Mandaksara itself, but as we've had more and more contact through the community health work and also through children's clubs which we've run during the long holiday, on a weekly basis during the long holidays, we've had more and more contacts with an increasing number of villages around Mandaksara, some fairly near and some much further afield. And we found that people from these villages who've had contact with the good news have come to us and said, please, won't you come to our village? Won't you send a team to our village? We want this message. And so there you saw Dr. Francis leading a group of young people. They took on two villages. There are teams that go out from the church. Each village around the church that we have contact with receives a team visit once a month. And as the adults are taught and the children are taught, so the Sunday school lessons are used for that. And then there are some villages much further afield, two parts of each within a day, so that when these folk want help, they come into me I work with them over a short period of time, and they go back to their village with maybe 3-4 months worth of lessons, and then come back to me again. So that I was very happy when the community health teams started going out regularly, and Dr. Francis was able to keep an eye on some of these folk who are still very young Christians themselves, but have a burden to reach the children in the villages. So we're still very weak, humanly speaking, but we have the Lord's word and the Lord's promise to bring new life to those who trust in Him, who hear it. So thank you for your prayers.
I want to say something about the political situation in Madagascar, in case you missed it, but it was on the radio and television. In December, there were presidential elections, and they didn't declare the result until about a month later, when it was declared that the chief opposition man had 46% and the previous president had 40%. And the others had a few percent. And on the basis of that, they announced that there should be a second round of the top two people. The president would not be declared if somebody had 50%. However, this man who had the 46%, the leader of the, not the leader of the opposition, but the chief opposition candidate, said no, he was sure that he had already more than 50%. He reckoned he had 53%. On the first round, and he refused to go to the second round of votes, accusing the president of corruption, fiddling things, and so forth. And it certainly was very corrupt. We know it was very corrupt, and I think it's highly likely that it's correct. And certainly, all the people in the capital, the large majority of them, he had 1 million people, according to the BBC, out on the streets in protests and general strike and so forth. And so he has now declared himself the president. He's been inaugurated by the some of the High Court judges and so on. He has appointed a prime minister, a government, and so forth. The other man has declared that the port town, instead of the capital, which is inland, but the port town, which is where he comes from, his stronghold, will now be the capital, and that he will carry on being the president with his existing government and so on. And he's declared a state of martial law in the country since the very end of February. Declared martial law. Now, it hasn't really come to much because the army has not played a significant role. The army said we are neutral, and they've not got involved. However, the previous president, his people have blocked off the roads to the capital. There is actually only one road that goes from the port to the capital. There's only one. You know, there's one place to block the road. Nothing can get from the port to the capital. And so they've had no fuel or any other supplies come to that. But they've had no fuel in the capital for 6 weeks or probably more now. So there is no fuel at all there. It's making life extremely difficult. Very few cars on the road, obviously. And even MAF, MAF, told us last week they only had 3,000 litres of fuel left. And when you imagine that they sometimes use several hundred litres in a day, that doesn't give them many days of flying left. So things are very difficult. In Mandutsara, the road is cut off. This time we have come about Christmas to Easter. There is no road communication because of the rainy season. There are some bridges that don't exist, you have to drive through the rivers, so in the rainy season you can't get. Air Madagascar has not been flying on the sort of internal service, certainly for Madagascar. We have been entirely dependent on MAF. If MAF cannot fly, it would be a very difficult situation. The previous president is also playing on ethnic differences. We are anxious lest, basically, a civil war would be the outcome. The people said, no, we will never do that. Malagasy, simple people do it. But who knows where it might lead to. If that happened, all the leaders of our hospital are from the capital or from one of the other big towns, are not from the land of Sodom, are from the dominant tribe which this new president is from. And if we had to evacuate them for some reason, we would have to go to the hospital. But apparently there's no people there. There would be no doctors left, nobody in the administration left. So just to ask you to pray, although it hasn't reached the news very much, I think because there hasn't been much violence. If there's been violence, probably they would have reported. Then if there are any questions about that or about the video world.
What is the church membership now?
I think about 70. We were booked to get out with Air France, but Air France hasn't flown for about 3 weeks or so. It's been up 2 weeks, so it was the month Air France hasn't flown. But they did have one flight last week. It was the only flight they had in that month. So there were some flights coming from Mauritius and from Reunion, and we got on a flight to going to Reunion, to Air Austral, which is from sort of the Reunion is an island, it's one of the French territories. It's part of France actually, but it's next to Mauritius. We flew there and then waited there for quite a few times.
It's one of those things when you do want to live on the air and you don't have a reunion, it's the most often you do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't feel terribly European anymore. Yeah. 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 The first time I ever saw Europe, it was very little. Children, if come to the summer school in Manasara would be in school. Probably within the town, very likely 40 to 50 in schools. Out in the villages, there are most schools actually in the villages. Quite a business on the problem is sometimes with the older folk who are illiterate, or to find people who are sufficiently literate to be able to teach and to give it, they produce something, they have faith in that nation, have a written lesson to get converted into a taught lesson. Yes, that's the other thing. The people in Manasara are from another ethnic subgroup called the Tsimihi. And a lot of our teachers are actually the same people in Austin who are Mirna, they're from the capital. And they speak a different version of Malagasy. So to find people who are actually able to really communicate with me, especially the younger children, the older children, it's not so difficult because they do hear this, they hear the radio.
With them, and
particularly the fraternity section, because we are the fraternity section, we are the middle. And so cases will be referred by them to us when they think this is the same section. This particular patient was not referred by them.
How many Meditech qualified staff have you?
We have 7 doctors. And Madagascar has a lot of doctors compared to some of the mainland African countries. But very few nurses. We have 2 Malagasy trained nurses, and at the moment just the 2 missionary nurses. And we have 7 doctors. So our other nursing staff are local folk that we have trained ourselves, and it would be, in terms of the training, would be a sort of, what we call them these days in the
care.
And that would include these doctors, the anaesthetist.
Yes, she's one of those. She does some outpatients as well. She doesn't only do anaesthetics, but she does some of the medical outpatients. And we take turns at night and cover in the rows of them. Well, since all this trouble blew up, the postal service has been on strike, so no post has moved for 2 months. Even when it moves, it doesn't always move quite as long as it wants. At Christmas, most of our mail is open, and then it's stuck up again. And they're looking for money in the summer. It's a card with a letter, you know, feels good. And letters that we write home from forwards, writers, send letters to people. Emails with this new setup that we had, basically, I wasn't very
so we want to send our courses to the 1.2 megabyte file.
Yes, it will take, it will cost us, it won't get through, because we have a block on anything so. Think over 40. So it will come back to you, but it'll know the same thing. We get a little 1 case and note saying this thing will not come to you because so many hundreds of dollars in the how far is your connection is 4,800
Most projects in the computers are 57,000. It's at least 1/10 the speed. And it costs how much to receive?
Well, each time we log in, it costs us $1.50 for the first minute. So if the email stays less than a minute, we still have to pay for a minute. So we can do the same. What we're actually charging people is we put the 20 feet to receive and send.
So, you and my best thoughts and thoughts and that I'm not sure.
Well, it's something interesting to take care of.
Since you're on the local plan, everybody who works at the hospital and the government's not employing it. So, the hospital is working, and all the hospitals work.
Our aim is to make the hospital self-sufficient in terms of its running costs. So the salaries, cost of medicines, and consumable equipment, and electricity, and all that kind of thing, we call running costs. And then our local income is easily charge patients, which is by far the bulk of it, then people can use the telephone to make their money in there. Various other services we provide in our maintenance. And last year we were over 90% of our running costs were covered by the for patients who come, the outpatients, for example, if they haven't been thought about this, cut the calcium, unless they're less than the outpatient regular, and they take it to the receptionist, and then they go to the rounds like a sort of thing. And at the end, they'll come back and cash card or another card then, because in addition to all the different things that have been consultation, the X-ray, whatever it has to be. And then they pay. For the inpatients, there's an operation, there are nights in hospital, drugs are used, the IV fluid, the side effects, all itemized. We have a fourth one for people who we consider definitely count. The vast majority of people do pay. They're not used to having a free service. They know what they expect to pay and they value what they get. Sometimes it's amazing to us that people who, we would all consider to be desperately poor, but whose life consists in growing rice, eating the cattle, eating their rice and taking it to meat, come for an emergency operation, for example, and they will go, but they don't have enough money, so they go and say, okay, go. They'll come back a month later or 2 months later and they'll pay their bill. Just come and walk from there. It's quite remarkable to us sometimes that this happens.
Do they pay in cash or do they pay in cash?
That's a good question, because Manusara has one of the biggest cattle markets in the country. Every second Saturday, there's an area which is called the Big Saturday. And every second Saturday is Big Saturday. If you come from the coast, they walk for days and days to go to cattle. It's 4 days walk to the coast if you want to get healthy and wise. And if you've got a cow who is in the middle of the city, it's a little bit amazing. But that's what they do, they put out selective. And people who come for routine operations, somebody's coming for a hysterectomy, say, 5 or a hernia or something, it's routine, it's not urgent. We have a waiting list, so the waiting list is then on the patient, not on the service. So they say, when do you have an operation? I've got to wait for the next cattle market so I can sell my cows.
Could you explain a little how you manage with so few nurses?
We only have 22 inpatient beds, and so at night, for example, there is just one, not one of the nurses. There's one of these nurses, these care assistants. There's a care assistant who's in charge. We have about 15. Care assistants, and during the day there would be two or three there, and then a couple in the outpatients, and these ones in theatre, they're all care assistants. That's how we manage. It's difficult. We are always looking for people because somebody leaves, and we're left short. No, it's not. Yeah, I haven't seen a case since we've been there. We don't do HIV testing except for blood donors, and we haven't had a positive. But there's been a positive case.
Have you had any
this new one we've only had since Christmas. We just got it just before Christmas. Yeah, with difficulty actually. Before that, we did have emails for probably 2 years before that. With an older satellite telephone that was even slower and much more expensive. And before that, we just had the post. We do have a two-way radio link with NAF in the capital. That is often been a real life help to us. So every day we have a call up with them. Going back to finances, that's our running costs. But all our capital costs then are from donations. Some little donations from churches in Madagascar. Churches, the island. Most of our donations are either from this country or from Europe or from Australia. We have had some big grants. When we first arrived in Madagascar, well, before we went there, I was trying to find funding agents to help us in the building of the hospital. And I went to see what was then the OCC administration in Glasgow, went to Tierfan, went to Germany to speak with organizations, and Brussels to the European, whatever it was called in those days, community. And they all had their reasons why they couldn't help us. Either we were too evangelical, or we were Christian, or we were too hostile in our community now, all various reasons that couldn't help us. And probably talk to us about that, obviously. But we started this project by a group of Madagascar. The very first money that came through, a check for £75, three groups, money for bricks, shares, I'd say. And from a lady near Liverpool somewhere who said, my son, aged 14, had his birthday recently, and his grandparents gave him some money, he was thinking of buying various things. But the same day, your leader came to the door, and he said, no, it was a real nice question. He said, you know, God doesn't need a very good organization to keep this work, don't you? When we arrived in Madagascar, we did go see the European community folk in Madagascar. We said we got this project and they were very interested, and we said, well, we've been to Brussels and they weren't interested. We said, well, we've learned about Brussels and they said, we said, well, they told us we were not a development agency, we couldn't help us. They said, well, you're doing a development project, so as far as we're concerned, you're a development agency. We said, well, we can work with you about you. And so we applied for 4 years and we got the money. Well, after we finished building the first of the hospital, they paid us. We've got 2 wards. We've actually got 44 beds, but we only use the other one as kind of overflow. We've got 20 little houses for patients' relatives, because the patients always have to come with a relative. Because, you know, to talk about the nursing again, basic nursing care, like feeding, we don't provide food for the patients. The relatives have to provide the food, and they do the feeding, they do the washing of the patients, they change the bed, and all that kind of thing. And so they very much cooperate with our nursing staff. And that's the same in every hospital in Madagascar, be it government or private or whatever. There is always somebody the whole night, somebody sits by every patient or sleeps under the bed, maybe. So we have 20 little houses that we rooms, so that we keep for relatives. And some of the patients, when they're discharged, we have a patient who's there, raging and stressing us around, and is ready to go home, but doesn't have a place nearby to go to. And then they go there and stay there, which is much cheaper. And then they'll just come and set them to a step.
Have you been aware of your oneness for the 22 minutes? The first time I've been working with Zuckerman. And the prayer request was every week, 23 years ago. It doesn't seem to have changed. What's the problem of getting a motive?
Japan. We had a major stay in Belgium. We have had another Belgian who came for a year. Would love to have stayed longer, but really wasn't possible because of his children. Really, to find long-term people, that is a problem for us. We have this man in the picture, Surendra, who's basically a mechanic. And now we have another man who's just come to join us. Francis's brother is an engineer, a building engineer. And that would be a great help on the building side. But he's not a practical hands-on man. He's a supervisor. What we really need is another hands-off person who knows about farming, who knows about farmers and things, to help train. We have people who come all the time, but frequently. The guys who are boring and whatever they do to the cylinders and the tractor engine. The young fellow was there, was a Swiss. Medical students in July and August because you've got this person coming and we're going to have problems. Yes and no, in a sense. When we open the hospital, normally when they open an inaugurated new building, new house, they have a special prayer to the ancestors, the Jew. And the village people wanted to do the Jew for our hospital, is what they did. And we said, no, we don't do that, we're not making it. They would want to sacrifice that. They were quite convinced in their minds that the people who came to the hospital would die, particularly if they were operated on. And the first person we operated on was our administrator's wife, who went into labor sooner than we had anticipated, in December. And got stuck. We had to do a cesarean section. We weren't ready for it. We didn't have anything sterile properly. Anything organized. We had to do this cesarean section. Fine, amazing, wonderful. And it was a great test in me that, So I mean, yes and no, the opposition is there, but when people see power of God, certainly I'm not sure that some people are fearful. Thank you. helicopters. There is some, just to talk about the opposition, some spirit to one of the members of one of the village churches. He's an older man, and he has three or four brothers, and they died one by one over the course of a few months. One died, and he was the last one there, and he was sick, and he went along to see me. Which doctor died? And they said, this is because of Spirit X. Spirit X is saying, he wants to come and live inside. And they have a ceremony where they would go and actually invite his spirit to come to this. And he said, I don't want to. He was frightened. He didn't want to. And there were a few Christians in his village. And he went to them and they started praying with him and teaching him and walking in the song. And he was converted and really delivered from all this. I remember when he first came into the Messiah, he came to the church.
Mentioned the approximate number of the members of the church. Now, is that including the village causes?
There would be more including the villages, yes.
Are there
those who would be baptized members in the villages? I don't know, probably would number about 30, I would think, if you put all the villages that there are together. There's perhaps, you know, 4 or 5 year and 2 or 3 year.
And are they organized churches?
They're sort of, they're potential churches rather than organized churches. I mean, they do meet and they have some kind of leadership, but they're not really constituted as churches yet. There's a lot to do. That's what we need. We need more people. We've really been, for a long time, been looking for a Malagasy person, a trained person who would come and who actually just give himself to helping the village churches to develop into actual churches. That's the trained leadership. It's a huge need.
Thank you.
quite a number of our staff are from the church that came out of the other days. From the FJKN, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Men Against Religious.